so far?
Yeah, very excited. The goal was to try and improve each week through the playoffs to obviously peak next week. So I'm in a great position, looking to obviously stay in the number one spot. That's my best chance to win the FedEx Cup starting Atlanta. And, you know, been through this process before, which is nice. We've got, you know, a routine we like to go through and, you know how to kind of conserve energy these last couple weeks. And, you know, there's a FedEx Cup is a tremendous accomplishment and achievement, and it's something that I'm certainly striving for.
You've played twice at Conway Farms before. What do you think of the course here?
I like it a lot. It's a little quirky, but I think in a good way. Provides a lot of excitement. You got, you know, really two pins on every green where you can really attack, and two where you got to kind of watch out just with the green structures. But, you know, I've played it when it's been soft and there was a 59 and an unbelievable scoring. And then, you know, right now it seems to be a little firm. So it's actually quite a bit, you know, different of a golf course, but it's in phenomenal shape. And I like coming here. It really is a fun week, and they do a tremendous job hosting us here.
Have you ever, in all your days of golf, finished runner-up in three consecutive tournaments? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think I have, and on the PGA Tour, I can't call it a bad thing. I don't think so, but if I finish runner-up this week, unless one of two other people won, I will have accomplished the goal of being number one going into Eastlake. So, and again, you know, if I had to finish first and second the next 2 weeks, it's pretty obvious I'd be more than happy to finish my third consecutive second this week. So I'm looking to play well. You know, I took a few days off, and again, it goes back to trying to maintain strength. And there's been times I've shot 81 at Eastlake, and I've shot 65 probably at Eastlake. And it just, you know, obviously it's how you're playing, but you know, there were certainly years, two of the 4 years I've played Eastlake, I was certainly tired out by the time I reached there in 14 and 16. So it's a matter of conserving as much energy as possible, you know, limit the reps on the range and really focus on short game, and then next week approach it like a major.
Along those lines, being in a position you're in, is it hard to get terribly motivated about this one, knowing that no matter what you do, it doesn't matter except for what you do next week?
In the position I'm in now, that certainly is a good question, because I'm guaranteed into the top five, essentially. So I will control my own destiny next week. I don't find it difficult. I was kind of struggling a little with that in New York, going into New York, finding motivation off of, you know, just the major season and the grind of, you know, the Hartford, the Open Championship, just a lot that happened for me late in the summer, really a really nice peak for me for the season. I got out there, didn't get off to a great start, and then, you know, I was frustrated with that, especially with my putting, and I worked really hard to make that a good week. And then same thing. Yeah, I mean, these playoffs, if you're in a very good position going in and you feel like you're playing well, the first three can kind of seem a little more difficult just because you see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know that Eastlake is really what matters in the way that these points work, right? The way it used to be, if you could win the FedEx Cup before going to Eastlake like Vijay did that 1 year, it's a totally different scenario in these first three events. But when everything gets knocked back down anyways, you're playing a PGA Tour event while focused on the next one, which is different than the rest of the season where you're focused on that event where you're at. There's just such a bigger prize on the end that certainly has most of our minds, the guys in the top, you know, 5 or 10 of the FedEx Cup. So I'm motivated to stay where I am, and I've got two guys that I'm playing with that are very, very close on my heels, because number one is a huge difference from number three as you go into Eastlake for the scenarios to win. So no trouble finding motivation this week because of the way these guys have been playing and how close we are.
Jordan, to that end, if you could, is there anything you'd change about the FedEx Cup? I mean, it sounds like you have some thoughts there along those lines about...
You know, we went from, what, 5 times to 4 times and adjustment in the final. You know, the promotion of the FedEx Cup is a season-long race when it has essentially come down to who wins the Eastlake, you know, kind of counter each other a little bit. But we've seen the winners of the FedEx Cup actually be guys who have been Player of the Year candidates since the inception of the FedEx Cup. So When you look at it that way, no, not exactly. I don't really have much to change, or I don't really have much anything to change in it, because if someone's already won the FedEx Cup, that takes everything out of East Lake. And sure, that would be pretty nice if all you had to do was wake up to your alarm and hire a police escort to make sure you get to the course just to tee off and finish for $10 million bonus, which is exactly what I would do. But the fact that you got to play for it, add that excitement to Sunday. Look at last year, you had Rory in a playoff with Ryan Moore, where if Ryan wins, DJ wins. I mean, someone sitting on their couch, Dustin Johnson sitting on the couch watching, saying, man, there's a $7 million difference in who wins this playoff, and I can't control it. It's an added excitement to our sport that we just don't see. And so I certainly understand and have been on, you know, the good and I've been on the good end of it and haven't had many close calls on the bad end, but boy, it really is an exciting week next week. All these playoff events, just the huge jumps, the guys that are working their way into, I mean, there's so much at stake making the Tour Championship, right? You get into all the majors, you get into every event. So people are really grinded.
A couple questions, if I could, about one of the guys who are chasing you. What has Justin done this year to really unlock the kind of season that he's had?
I think he expects himself to close it out. And that's kind of when you look at somebody who finds almost ease in closing or you know, under the highest pressure, still performs the shots that he's performing to get to that position that week. That's when you start to see somebody who expects it out of himself and is frustrated when you don't, versus somebody who, you know, hey, I had a chance, but I didn't quite pull it off, and it was still a really good week. I mean, he would have been, just like I was, frustrated at the end of the last couple weeks that I wasn't the one I was the bridesmaid. So, you know, it's just one of those, and I feel that way about myself, right? And you get yourself in position enough and you taste success enough, you know, you want to keep having it. And he's this year gone from somebody who had, you know, a win at CIMB to winning again over there and taking it into two events in a row and winning really, what, three out of four events that he played in, which is absurd. 75% in four events is ridiculous. And that's what he was able to do. And he took that confidence into a major championship and made it look pretty easy too.
And when are the two of you going to start behaving like proper bitter rivals?
I probably never.
Well, that goes into quite, how do you balance the competitive instincts you have with the friendship that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's no different, right? I mean, we're friends off the golf course, and then when we're on the golf course, we're still friends, but we're playing against each other. It's not like we played on the same team when we were 14. We were always playing against each other. Our schools matched against each other in college, AJGA events in high school, and then professionally. I promise you, when we're both out there and he's got a 6-footer to win the tournament and I'm standing right there on the green, I'm not rooting for him to make it, you know? I'm rooting for him to miss it so we can go to a playoff and I can beat him. I mean, that's just how it works as a competitor. So, but when you aren't the one that pulls it off and you know, one of the people that you're very close to can, then it's cool. It's really cool for us at, you know, the highest stage of what we do for a living.
Obviously, you had a great year. I'm just wondering, regardless of the results, could you sort of analyze your play, just how you played this year? Were you happy with it? Was it better than past years? And did you feel like you improved as a golfer this year at all?
Yeah, if I have the year I had this year, the next 15 years, then I'll be the greatest player to ever play the game. If you judge it by major championships, I mean, it's that simple. So yeah, I have to look at this year extremely positively. Oh, sure, yeah. Statistically, I think it was a fantastic year. I'd actually call it, you know, 2015 was incredible because of the results, but this year I would say I'm even more optimistic looking forward than I was in 15. Just given, I know that, you know, my putter is really the strength of my game, but this year it wasn't, and we were able to have kind of the success we had. Ball striking wise, I really feel like I did things in my swing I learned from any kind of tendencies I had, at least dialed them in a little bit to where I didn't see those tendencies come up as often. And I'm really optimistic about that going forward, because I don't feel like this was just a really good ball striking year and the others was the norm. I think each year I was progressing towards what this year is, and I think that's going to continue to improve for me. And that's what's really exciting. And then, you know, if I get some more putts to go in at certain times, then then we're really in business and we're back to the results of, you know, a couple years ago or this year. To answer your question, no matter what happens, if I finish last the next 2 weeks, it's an extremely positive year that I'm as optimistic as any going forward.
I assume you like East Lake?
I do, yeah. I like
East Lake. What is it about that golf course you like? And do you like the fact that you end on a par 5 now instead of a par 3?
I'm sorry?
Do you like the fact that the tournament ends on a par 5 instead of a par 3?
It was nice ending on a par 3 with a big lead with no water on the par 3 in 2015. But yes, I think the last six holes now become, there's more that can happen than on what's 4 through 9 now. What do I like about East Lake? East Lake and Augusta remind me a lot of each other. You have a really well-designed golf course where the fairways slope against the ball flight that you need off the tee, and then the greens remind me of each other a lot with the slope, the speed, and the bunkering around them. East Lake obviously has a lot more rough, which is very different from Augusta, and the greens aren't quite as severe, fast. But I just like the layout of it. I like the shots that it makes you play off the tee, and then into the green you can be bold or you can play safe, but with the green shapes, when you play safe, you're left with a tough two-putt. So it's a very, very much a risk-reward type golf course. It kind of sneaks up on you how it's risk-reward. But, yeah, the excitement from five, really number – well, the old number five, what's now 14 – playing such a massive role in the finish of a tournament on probably one of the hardest par three we play all year, given when it is now and what tournament it's at. It certainly adds a lot to it with number 9 as well, or 18 as well.
And you've now thrown first pitches out at Wrigley, Fenway, and Arlington. What is it like to do that?
Yeah, I hit the three bucket listers for me there. I'm done now. I wanted Fenway and Wrigley, just growing up and hearing about the history of, and just being a baseball fan and just knowing that those, you know, they're the most historic ballparks, along with probably the old Yankee Stadium. But it's really cool. It's awesome. It's an honor to go out there. You know, people wonder how you can wear the jerseys of all three teams, but boy, it's great if they. When they reach out and ask to go do it, it's a tremendous opportunity and get to hang out with, you know, some of baseball players I'm huge fans of. Last night, got to hang out with some of the Cubs guys, the heroes of Chicago from what they did last year, winning the World Series. It's just, after watching that, getting to meet those guys, it was an incredible experience for sure. Yeah, and I was actually talking with a couple of the guys about that. You know, they stand on a tee box lined with, even if there's 10 people out there watching, and these baseball guys are nervous hitting a tee shot. And same way for me out there, I go out there, I'm like, man, the only way you end up on ESPN is if you really screw this one up. And so I kind of bailed a little, threw it a little high. But yeah, definitely was nervous walking out there.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. When you reflect on, you know, how much your career has advanced just over the last several years, I was just wondering two things. One, what was the best piece of advice an experienced player gave you that helped you get to where you are? And then secondly, what advice would you give some of the younger players to try to bring their game up to the next level?
Yeah, it's tough. I've had a lot of, been very fortunate to have a lot of older players on tour really offer a lot of great wisdom that has helped me. But if I had to pick one that I can think of right now, it was probably, you know, make sure you're really focused on your rest and recovery. You know, that would have been a pretty common theme with a lot of the older players. I mean, it's wear and tear on your body. You know, the golf swing is very unnatural for your body, and you see guys get hurt a lot in their back, hips, whatever it may be. Rest and recovery is way more important than anything else for an entire season. And I think that's probably what I would offer somebody else as well, because you come out and you just expect, you know, now you don't have to go to school. I say you don't have to go, you're not in school. Sorry, that's not phrased the right way for kids, but you're not in school. You're not having something else that's taking over at least half your day. And it's a very big change to go from playing maybe 10 events to 15 events a year to, you know, 25 to 30 with a full grind of doing it every day, all day. And you've got to try and find the right balance, you know, what's best for you. And for some people, it's practicing more than others. And that would be the advice I'd offer others is this week, although it's big, think about how you have the rest of the season. You got 10 more events, and I know the feeling of really wearing yourself out and not doing it correctly, and you have to trial and error it. But rest and recovery is probably the most important thing I've received and what I would tell somebody else.
Do you even know any younger tours on player?
I don't know any younger tours on player, but players on tour. Okay. Yeah. I was just in the gym with Siwoo. Siwoo's one. I think Grayson Murray's younger than me. There's not many. What? No, Ollie's older. I'm pretty sure Ollie's older. He was in my class, but younger class, yeah, Siwoo, Grayson, yeah, there's not many. But I'm sure your question was, in 10 years, what do I tell somebody?
Jordan, the BMW Championship kind of drives around a little bit. Last year it was in Indy. This year it's here. Next year, Philly. When it comes back to Chicago, it goes to another golf course. Being that it's a playoff event, does it matter that it moves around so much, or should those events maybe have more permanent regular homes?
No, I think it's structured. I think it's done very well. We've got one that moves around, one that's constant. This one moves around and then kind of moves around, right? This is the third time being here in 5 years. And then East Lake is a really good tournament to have it one course. So I like it the way it is. We get to play some fantastic golf courses all over the country. We went to Denver. We went to Indianapolis. We're going to go to Philly. And we're going to move around here. And Chicago golf is maybe the mecca of golf as far as a big city goes. I mean, there's some dozens of golf courses here that are incredible tracks. So I like it the way it is, personally.
Have you played Medina before?
I've not played Medina, no. I haven't. I say there's dozens of golf courses. I've only played a few of them, and certainly yearn to play more.
Do you prepare any differently for a week where you know the scores are going to be low versus an event where the winning scores closer to par?
I think your mindset going into it, yeah, sure, you play a little more aggressive off the tee. I'm unsure about this week. I imagine it'll still be low, just given there are feeder pins. But it's going to firm up, and you're coming out of this rough into these greens, and they're firm enough where it's going to be hard to hold them. You know, I don't see a 20-something under. I'd see something like a 14, but I only played 9 holes yesterday, so it's kind of hard to tell. But that's pretty average for us. You know, 14 under par is it? I would say the average winning score, 14, 15, on the PGA Tour. So, it just at this week in particular, you just kind of get out there and try and figure out where everyone's at and how it's playing to you through the middle of that first round. And then you start to get a better sense. But yes, when you look at a U.S. Open or you go, to the John Deere as two different examples, the approach is totally different, and it starts off the tee.